10.
9.
8.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Blast off!
I'm Brian Wade, and I'll be your captain today.
And I'm Stuart, and I'll be your gunner as well as the ship's always happy, always joyful therapist.
And I'm Vader, and I'm the navigation officer, but unfortunately I've already lost my maps.
And this is Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy, Episode 0. You may recognize us from our work as the hosts of Dark Insight, but it's 2020, and we kind of decided it was time for something new. It was time to move on. We aren't a Souls-focused group kind of the same way that we were, and we kind of felt that the name had had worn out its welcome a little bit, so we thought that it was time to give a shot at something new.
Hardcore listeners are just leaving. Name your Souls. I'm done.
Well, don't worry, people. We'll still talk about Souls.
Oh, heck yeah.
And Souls-like by connection. Yeah,
in fact, spoilers, I will be talking about a Souls-like in this episode.
Oh, nice.
Take a bet.
So, Charles, Stuart, you guys want to talk about like what we have planned for the new new podcast?
Games. We're going to be fast and loose. I think that's safe to say.
We're still going to be fast and loose.
It's going to be an evolving platform. I think we'll still talk about news and games and life and games. But I think we're going to try and maybe spice things up. Try different things with kind of mothballing, throwing ideas at each other and stuff, haven't we? Kind of try different just to keep it fresh, keep it zingy. Like you're sucking a lemon in your ear hole every whenever. I was going to say every week, but whenever.
Just once like a week sucking on a lemon.
That bitter citrus blast to your cranium. That'll be us every week, trapped out here in the black of space. Ooh. Also, I'm going to try and learn to play the pheromone, so I can play that kind of. Join that in the upcoming weeks. Each week's a wee installment of me playing it.
Each week is your next theremin lesson.
6 months, I'll know how to play Star Trek. Good times.
But yeah, it's the new frontier, basically. We're just going to be doing whatever we want and talking about having fun along the way.
I would have said it was meant the journey home, but you know.
it's the long goodbye.
It's every cliche ever in sci-fi, but better.
So let's talk about what's been going on in our lives. It's been a couple months since people have heard from us. Charles, what have you been up to?
More beekeeping, but this week I found a dog.
You found a dog?
I found a dog. I was going to my mother-in-law's, and as I was getting back in the car, this dog just ran up to me and cuddled with me, and I was like, "Oh, you're very friendly."
I was going
to
ask, was it like a Pokemon encounter? It just started playing that music.
I guess it was.
It started playing that music, and then there was a big swirling effect in front of you, and the dog appeared. Wild dog appears.
That's basically what it was. Dogamon. But yeah, he was really cute, like a real good-looking dog. But then I looked around for an owner because you know sometimes dogs walk ahead of their owners.
Yeah.
There was no one, and then the dogs like went to go run off and keep exploring. And so like, I saw a car coming up the street, and it was into the thing. So I ran onto the street and waved the car down, just so it didn't hit the dog. Put my body on the line. Then I had my mum in the car, and then I went and dropped her off where she was going. And I was like, I've got to go check on this dog. I felt real. I just couldn't leave this dog wandering around with the risk of it running on the street, because it wasn't street smart. So I went back. And it's the same streets, and he was still running around. And so I hopped out the car, called him over. He came to me, and I picked him up, checked him in the car, because he had no tag. And so I didn't want to call animal control and just put him in the system. So we put a post on Facebook. We haven't really found the owner yet, but our neighbor is friends with the dog rescuer. So she came over, got a dog rescuer, came over and scanned. He had no microchip, so no identification. And the laws here in New Zealand are, if there's no identification, the animal control has to get involved. So it was a little sad. I was kind of hoping I'd be able to look after him, make sure he was safe. And so I'm a bit worried about where the little pup is right now, but hopefully.
Is there no way that you can be like, hey, like I'll take this dog?
Well, that's what I asked, and I said that if they can't find the owner, that if I were willing, would be the first point of call, but I haven't heard back what's happening yet. So
there'll be a cool-off period, won't there? It'll be like a kind of set time, won't they? Like two, is it, if you find money, there's like you need to wait like months or something. Well, it might be not 2 months for a dog, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
I was just really disappointed that you didn't work a line in about there'd been no hot leads. God damn it.
Yeah, so we weren't obviously looking to get another dog. One's was enough for me, but just kind of feel bad for little fella.
Yeah, man, that's kind of how it happens. I mean, that's how I got my cat. Like, she was a stray, and I felt bad about her being a stray. So I was like, okay, come in my house and live with me. And ever since then, she's been my cat.
Don't lie, Brian. There's posters around your neighborhood of, have you seen my cat?
Yeah. First of all, no. She was a stray in where my friend lives, about an hour away from me. But also, like, we did take her to the vet, and she didn't have a chip or anything.
Yeah, no, I'm just teasing you. I know. That's the thing. My mom wants a cat. Like, mom lives with us, for those who don't know. But she's like, I don't want to spend all the money on these breeding cats and stuff. But she's like, how come people find stray cats all the time, but they just never come to us?
Cats are trash gremlins, right? Like, you just find them on the street and then bring them into your house.
Yeah. Haven't found one. So she'll be jealous of you, especially your cat, Brian. It's an extremely good-looking cat.
It is a very pretty cat.
But yeah, that's what I've been up to. I mean, it's been a whirlwind couple of months since Christmas. I feel like I've had stuff on the fly. I'm working on cosplay costumes for me and my kids.
I'm always looking forward to seeing what you do for your cosplay, because it's always awesome.
We're doing Demon Slayer, the anime this year. So I don't know if you've seen, I've made the box bag, if anyone knows the show.
Like, yeah, oh yeah, I think you showed us that. Last time, or maybe you just sent it to the group DM. So at some point we saw that.
Yes. I just always got something going. What about you, Stuart? What have you been up to?
Just doing my thing. Busy at work, as is always the way. Just surviving. Not particularly thriving, but just kind of getting on with the task at hand.
Making it happen, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? just making money and not having time to spend it, and just avoiding the snow.
Let me tell you how much I feel that pain.
But yeah, it's been pretty standard. It's pretty unexcitable life in it, between 3 months since we last heard from it. And it's pretty much the status quo, which is a good thing in a kind of weird, safe way, in a kind of dodgy way, but you know, yeah, just nothing epically. No stray dogs or Pokemon style battles in the streets with youths or that. Just running the mill, as they say.
I mean, Charles does live in the fantasy land of New Zealand, so
this is true. This is true. But yeah, so sorry to disappoint.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I get it.
It'll be yourself.
So, yeah, so this weekend...
Swashbuckling adventures.
This past weekend, I got, like, weirdly deep into researching, like, Chinese emulator devices. So, like, there are these handheld... But there was a big boom last year in these devices.
These Wish.com special things.
Yes, they're, like, Alibaba or AliExpress or whatever. These are, like, handhelds that are systems on a chip that you can play... You know, GBA, NES, SNES, like basically anything up to like PS1 era games on. And for some reason, I just got like this wild hair that I like wanted one of these devices, because I was playing a game on my Game Boy Color that I have modded to have a backlight, and it's nice. But like, I was like, but what if I want to play like some dumbass Super Nintendo game, and what if I want, like, a better screen? Because, like, the Game Boy Color screen is nothing special. So I got really deep into, all of these different devices. I was researching the minuscule differences between, like, the RG350 and the GameKitty 350H and the Pocket Go V2 and the Playgo, and it was a lot.
They're all, like, the same, but the color is different.
They are basically all the same, except the color is different. What it came down to for me, I ended up narrowing it down to either the Playgo or the RG350. I ended up going with the Playgo because it has the D-pad in the top position, whereas the RG350 has the offset analog sticks like a Nintendo Switch. And I felt that having the D-pad in the proper position for playing 2D games would make more sense for what I was wanting to use the device for. So, get ready for me to report back on that in about a month when that thing shows up from China.
Well, maybe more than that. But
maybe more than that. It has shipped, so we'll see what happens.
Nice. I want to open that in a self-contained area. I've seen The Simpsons. I've seen what happens.
Stop scaremongering there, Stuart. Yeah, the news does it enough.
I'm just saying.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of more or less what's been going on in my life. I'm just now patiently awaiting this device so that I can play stupid SNES ROM hacks. So
I'm glad that's what it was. When I read that you wanted to talk about Chinese emulated devices, I was like, what the heck is he doing? Emulating, like, Chinese food or something? I don't know.
Yes,
like,
definitely emulating Chinese food.
Is it a new VR game, like VR Surgeon, or whatever it's called? Surgeon Emulator?
Surgeon Simulator, yes. Exactly. But yeah, that's kind of what's been going on in my life. It's been entertaining. So, Charles, tell me what's been going on in the news.
The news? Before the news, who was the first student to be sorted by the Sorting Hat during Harry's first year?
Oh, man.
Are we allowed to phone a friend?
Yeah, right.
Kiwi! Who was the first student to be sorted by the hat in Harry Potter?
The movies.
Seen the Harry Potter movies, who was the first student to be sorted? When Harry, you know how Harry was getting his hat and that? Who was the first student in front of him to get sorted?
It's good to think we've got a communications officer on hand.
Honestly, like, I am trying to remember who has names that start with A, and
pick
I can't
one.
Remember any.
Pick one. You can't choose two.
I got not Dean Thomas.
Wrong.
I've been said from an outside source that it's Hermione, apparently. Or
correct.
Oh, yes, well done. Well done. Congratulations.
What they do with Hermione? Hermione's really the first one.
Yeah, they streamlined it for the movie.
That's what you call.
Oh, I guess it's probably pretty short in the movie, isn't it? It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
So. Yep. There you go.
If there's any more, I'll call for you. All right, help.
Hermione Granger. Confirmed Hermione Granger.
Correct. So news. Games Done Quick has been cancelled because of...
Sorry, not Games Done Quick. The Game Developers Conference.
We hang a bit long enough, we'll get to that. Been cancelled as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just GDC is the same letters as
Games Done Quick. It is not.
No, it's not.
Actually.
I'm just too early in the morning.
Quick does not start with a C.
I realize my mistake now.
Zero in the morning. Give him a bye.
So
Game Developers Conference is what has been cancelled due to... concern over the coronavirus pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
Yes, and we're here to tell you, don't panic, it doesn't help anything.
Yes, there's always the motto of the show, right? Like, don't panic.
You'll get it. Just
be safe, like, don't panic.
Wash hands.
There's a level of fear-mongering that is especially strong in America. I don't know if it's quite the same at the same level in England or in New Zealand that
not really. It's a thing that's happening, but it's not quite like there's no it'll get there. I have no fear because it's the whole thing. There's a man with it, so like that man's had it for like or like a week. And it's like that man's been untapped for a week walking about the place, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like a really shit fucking lottery. Who's going to win? No one.
Everyone's going to lose. The thing in America that is the biggest issue, and this is, I'm sure, also a problem overseas, but it's something that we feel very, very strongly here, is that there's like a culture of working through your sickness in America. And like, so, and part of that is that like most people either don't have enough sick time to not go to work when they're sick, or can't afford to not go to work when they're sick. Especially like I read a story from someone on Twitter that was talking about how several years ago when the swine flu was going around,
got
sick
times.
And were a chef or a cook, like a line cook at a restaurant. But because of America's abysmal lack of safety nets for social problems, they had to work while they were sick, and then found out after they had been sick for about a week that they had the swine flu. So who knows how many people they got sick by handling their food with the swine flu. So that's the fear in America right? Is that like these people can't afford to not work. So we are basically like encouraging these diseases to proliferate, right?
Because you need 2 weeks in it. It's 2 weeks, apparently, is the kind of quarantine thing, even if you get it. It's like, they estimate that 2 weeks.
Yeah, like that's how long you like incubated or whatever.
Yeah. But I think this is just the start. I think E3's, thank God, because I think they'll cancel if they get a chance.
I think they're probably pretty happy about that.
And see, it's the knock-on effect, as we were saying, was the whole fucking, we're joking there about the Chinese thing, but all these Chinese factories are shutting down, and last time I checked, that's where the majority of PlayStations and Xboxes are made in the world, and we're a brand new generation coming the end of this year, and nobody's actually asked that serious question of, look, are there actually going to be any made for market this year?
Yeah.
Or is it a case of you're just going to scrap it till like next Easter or something once this it blows over? Because there will be a finite amount of time to be able to build units to sell and stuff like that. And it's just a bit kind of like, nobody's mentioned that they knew about the actual not getting product to store, you know?
Yes,
because Apple's going to be interesting for sure.
They're hurting. Land Rover, Jaguar as well said they're hurting and stuff, so. Like, what'll be dating in it? It'll be Mad Max in 2 weeks time. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
No fear mongering.
Yeah. People already started panic shopping up in Auckland, Elbig City in New Zealand.
I was kind of curious what the fear was like over in New Zealand, because you guys are as an island kind of secluded a little bit, but you know, international world, like. It's global commerce, like
damn you airplanes, damn you!
yeah.
Well, we're a huge tourism country. We get a lot of
That's
people
true.
Down. But yeah, like we had our first case in New Zealand, and like the supermarkets up in Auckland apparently were like having to only allow one customer in at a time because people have been cray cray.
Like, quick, like, put with the hand sanitizer we can. Where's the hand sanitizer?
Yeah, and I'm just here, just doing my thing, not even thinking about it. Yeah,
hey man, wash your hands. Just, you know, be careful.
Be safe.
That's all you can do.
Exactly. Yep.
Buy a cool gas mask. Look like you're somebody for the division. I'm not saying I did it, but I might have.
And I mean, the other thing is that, like, for the three of us at least, and, you know, like, for most of the people in our lives, probably, is that we are all not in the group of people that would
old
be especially affected by this.
Old,
like we're not,
old is the word.
Yeah, we're not super old. We're not super young. We don't have compromised immune systems. So
said for every, was it one in five gets it pretty rough, but the over four will just get like a standard cold, run a high fever for a couple of days, and then they'll burn it out. I'm no query. What I like is, probably going to get shot now by the FBI, but I like the fact that the original concept that had been found in that fish market with snakes and stuff has all been defunct. So I'm kind of like, yeah, it's the CIA have went in and released a man-made toxin in the center of China, and it's backfired horrifically. So I couldn't believe that, because once they defunct the whole snake phone thing, I was kind of like, so where's the Americans?
What I saw
this podcast shut down before we even release a single episode.
Yeah, we're on a list now. A list of three.
I saw that it was a bowl of bat soup is what the where it came from.
Oh my god.
I actually heard it was an American medical specialist talking about the how you can't catch it because of all the rumors. And, like, there were people were believing and spreading the rumors that you could catch it by someone looking at you.
Oh my goodness! That's part of the issue too. Is that we live in a hellscape in America where. Donald Trump has basically clamped down all messaging on the coronavirus from the CDC. So,
all of the stat that what is it 30% of Americans surveyed
won't drink a Corona.
Yeah,
yes.
But better than that is 14% will not physically buy one in public in case they're judged. Brilliant!
That's incredible.
That's hilarious because you remember the SARS virus was a big thing like 20 years ago.
Yes.
Very similar situation.
There's been a few nasty things in this world or the life of the human race, you know what I mean? It's not like there's no mention bird flu. Oh, remember that? It was the bird flu.
They didn't go anywhere. SARS was quite a big deal. It's the biggest one I remember since compared to this. It was similar to this one and people's reaction. We're here in New Zealand, we had a drink called SARS, just a soda, fizzy drink. It was short for sarsaparilla. And, like, everyone in my school, like, it sold out at the local shops. Like, everyone was buying it. I'm like, look, I've got SARS.
That's good marketing.
That's very good.
Get those people on with Corona. They'll help.
Yeah, no, I bet all the young people are buying it. It's just older people freak out.
Oh, yeah.
Young people are stupid.
There's also the way I look at it, that if the world's overpopulated, the planet will contain, in theory, it will look after itself, so... Yeah, I mean, I'm no with that belief, but you could argue that it's the planet self-maintenancing, as if we were a flock of deer and it was an annual kill, you know what I mean? No saying anything like that, but that's really deep and really dark, and there is probably evidence to prove that, but we're not going there. The Americans did it.
The body burns off bacteria, right? Like,
yeah. It's just dead wood, isn't it? It's
so
just
if the earth is the body, then we are the bacteria, for sure.
We are the villains. We are the villains.
Welcome to this one's CDC podcast, where we talk about viruses. Next up, don't go licking windows. It might end up badly.
that's it on the coronavirus corner, I think, for this week.
I think we could have this as a section, but I think moving forward, this could be a section for the next few months.
Definitely for
the
next few episodes, at least.
Yeah.
We can talk about the coronavirus.
Yeah. If I was just putting it out there, if I'm going to put money on a high profile that might have it, I reckon the Pope's got it. Keep it on your hats, but I've got a feeling the Pope has got Corona.
Definitely good call to speculate on who has the coronavirus.
Well, it did look, I've seen pictures of him coughing, and it does look, he is in old age. Well, that'd be spectacular.
There's always a chance.
We shall see. White smoke, here we go. Anyway, games are things.
Yeah, in other news, so the Xbox, Microsoft, announced the specs of the Xbox Series X. None of that shit matters until we see what the games are, but the cool thing that they announced was the Xbox Smart Delivery, which is basically going to be like a buy the game once, play it on whatever systems that it's available on. Which is really cool. I remember when the PS4 first came out, there was one of the Assassin's Creed games. I can't remember which one. What was the one of the pirate ones?
Black Flag.
Black Flag.
Yes, Black Flag. Like, you, if you had bought the PS3 version, you could stick the disc in your PS4 and buy the PS4 version for $10 or something, which was cool at the time. But this smart delivery stuff seems way more consumer friendly, and it seems really cool. So I think Cyberpunk was the first game that came out and announced that they would be using this program, so that if you buy Cyberpunk on your Xbox One, when you buy the Series X, you will just have the Series X version, which is awesome.
I think it's good, but how many times are you going to play on different platforms? I guess that's probably right at the start of the series.
Like, yeah, the it's the thing where, like, if you want to play Cyberpunk but you don't want to buy a Series X right away, then you buy it on your Xbox One. Like, say you've got I've got an Xbox One X, so, like, do I really need to buy a Series X in 2020? Like, I'm either way, no, because I'm just going to buy it on PC. But in the hypothetical world where I didn't have a PC, I could buy Cyberpunk on my Xbox One X, play that for a while, and then next year or whatever, when it was time for me to buy a Series X, you know, say that's going to be, I assume it's going to be a pretty long game. Maybe I'm not finished with it yet. I'm going to buy my Xbox Series X and load up my Cyberpunk save file on that and keep playing. Like, seems like a good move to me.
It does, definitely. But it seems like one of those things that's really good on paper, but in practice, it's not going to be used that often. It's like,
I think it'll be used a lot for the first couple of years.
Yeah, you're right. It is,
you know,
is
and
good
because like, there's also like, you know, not everybody is like us. Not everybody buys the box on day one or in the first 6 months or whatever, right?
It's true. Although it seems like more people are, though. It seems like they're selling out, like, especially with a supposed potential shortage of consoles. This is going to be a really bad year to try and get a console day one.
Yeah, which, maybe that is another... maybe the coronavirus is going to help the Xbox Smart Delivery Program.
So Xbox did it.
So Xbox, it was Microsoft that was who started the coronavirus.
But see, Brian, you must be at the point where you could connect all your 3DSs together and make, like, a super console.
Did you see, speaking of that, so after Microsoft announced that the Xbox One or Xbox Series X was like 12 teraflops or whatever, someone did like a graphic of it that is like 12,000 GameCubes taped together or something like that, and so they just like drew an image of a whole bunch of GameCubes taped together next to it as Xbox Series X.
That's the hive mind. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
It's a big box with things inside it.
It's a mini fridge.
That's all it is.
It's too early to get hyped anyway. I mean, a long time ago. So.
Baldur's Gate 3 gameplay.
Yeah, sure looks like a Divinity Original Sin 2. But with some
same studio in it.
Seems really good.
Let's see, did you guys play the old Baldur's Gates?
I like Baldur's Gate 2.
They released them like 2-3 weeks ago on the Xbox. That and Neverwinter Nights and stuff. I've dabbled in that kind of game, but never my real bag.
Yeah, I enjoyed Baldur's Gate 2 like on PC. It's like 6 disc CDs or something.
Yeah, that was a classic.
The case was real awesome, like it folded out. So yeah, I'll be interested to see how this plays out. And if it's worth playing.
Yeah, they did. I was just checking. Yeah, they released enhanced editions of Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter Nights. If you need to get your fix. 20th anniversary contains the first game, the second game, and all DLC.
Cool.
That's
I had it on iPad at one point, but then it got taken off the iTunes store, but I still can get it because I already bought it. Yeah. There's probably more news, but we don't know what's really going on, do we?
Nah.
No.
No one knows. No one knows.
Come on, you know I don't pay that much attention to the news.
All right, we're moving on to what we've been playing.
Yes, we can move on to what we've been playing.
Are you going
to
throw us another quiz moment, or are you just...
Yeah, I was waiting for you to bust out the... I didn't even want to say anything because I was like, I know this trivia card is coming.
I'm not bringing that doom on myself ever again.
The question I read that I was going to read out was too easy, so that's why I hesitated. So I was going to leave it. But since you asked, which spell does Hermione use to erase the memories of the Death Eaters that attack her, Harry, and Ron in the cafe in London?
Oh my god, these are hard questions.
The thing is, if it was a multiple choice, you'd be able to pick it right away.
Yeah, are these multiple choice, Charles?
No.
Are you just not reading us the multiple choice?
It's the Harry Potter trivia pursuit, so that it's always just...
Oh, for fuck, Jesus, he's right, he's done his homework, isn't he? Busting that out, Jesus.
You guys don't know. It's like only, there's only one memory charm spell that's used.
Is it, oh, I remember, Obliviate, that's the one.
Yes, correct.
It took me a while.
It's not a thing.
I kept thinking of Petrificus Totalus, and I was like, that's not it.
Nope.
Just gave him the point. He knows more than me.
Okay, Charles. Now that you've made us rack our brains, tell me about Stella.
Stella. So I've got Apple Arcade, which people may or may not know about. That's the kind of subscription Apple Game Pass thingy.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of mobile games just being full of ads and waiting time to play the game because of cooldowns and different... I hate multi-currency games. They suck. So I chucked on the Apple Arcade so I could try some actual games without ads. And there's some pretty good things on there. Stella, unfortunately, isn't one of them.
Uh-oh. It looks very pretty. I looked it up and it's got like a really nice look.
Brian, I think you would like it. I've come to realize I just don't like side scroll games that much.
Okay. Just not a fan of the side scroller, huh?
No. It's Inside. It's exactly the same as Inside. Like in fact the first level is almost identical to the barn in the game Inside.
Interesting.
So I think you'd like it, but I just like, I found it kind of the touch controls also found a little bit clunky and hard to use.
Maybe that's been my big issue, like, because I also have Apple Arcade, and the big issue that I have is like I feel like almost all of the games like want you to use like have a controller or just have really bad touch controls.
But you can hook your Xbox controller up to it.
I've seen
the adverts on the social medias.
I don't want to connect a controller to my phone. Like that's a lot of work.
No, 30 settings. It's not even hard. I did
But then I don't have the phone in my hand, and then like, what's the point?
Well, you got a harness to hold the phone.
That's the thing. I agree. Like, I think it wants a controller, but there's when you're playing on your phone, like you want to play on your phone. Like you don't want to have it balanced on your lap or on the side of your couch while you've got a controller. You just might as well play on your TV then.
Yeah, like my whole like thought process for playing most of the phone games that I play is that like I'm playing them in front of the TV, like while I'm watching a movie or something, right? Like I don't need the kind of game that I'm playing with a controller.
See, exactly. I tried the what's its official name? It's got an official name. Oh, it's just game streaming. Oh, that's a bit disappointing. I tried the game streaming thing with Xbox, and it needs a controller, and you need real good connection at the time, so I did it in my living room, and I played Forza on it, and it was like, well, this is great, this is fantastic. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Why can I not just go upstairs and play Forza if I wanted to?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah. So then I took it to my work, and I tried it at my work, but the connection wasn't strong enough, and I was like, oh, well, that's disappointing. Yeah.
So I've done that stuff with the PlayStation
Now.
Remote play years and years ago. I did it with PlayStation 3. And that always worked. I'd done it at other people's houses I took the PlayStation TV and plugged that in and you can play remotely. But yeah, again, yeah, just might as well play on a console. But it was... you're right, Brian, this game does look pretty, but it was just the same issues I have with Inside, just these dying because you don't know what you're to do until you've seen yourself die. It was less... I hated it more in Inside because it was Little Boy Murder Simulator, which I wasn't enjoying. Whereas this is like a full-grown person, so it didn't
Death
feel
simulator.
As... Yeah, it was...
It's Adult Killer Simulator.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I think people who like Inside probably will get into it easier than I did, whereas... Yeah, I kind of
thought
myself being frustrated.
I've got a code for it on the Xbox. I might give it a bash. I liked Inside, so.
Well, yeah, if you've
got
it on
it's coming
console.
Out on Steam in a couple weeks, too, but.
So yeah, give it a gander, though, Brian, since you've got the Apple Arcade, and you might as well give it a look.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if it's available on Apple TV.
I would assume so, right?
Yeah, so I might check it on there. Because, yes, we've been talking about connecting controllers. We've done that with the kids for the Apple TV, and they've been able to play some games. And, yeah, it works quite well. Actually, it works very well with the controller. It makes it a lot more fun to play rather than using the stupid little remote to try and navigate. That's it. I've been playing more Death Stranding. I've got into, like, the pointy end of the stick of the game now. Like, it's that classic Kojima 6-hour cutscene ending I'm up to now. It's a good game. I think it just took too long to get to the story, the ending story. Like, I felt like it could have been a little bit more streamlined, the connections of the knots and the different preppers.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that game coming out on PC and being modded to shit to see, like, what kind of weird stuff they can do with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, as well.
People are just going to mod it so you can carry more load, so you got, like, this massive stack. It's like
They'll make the vehicles actually work. Like,
we can mod in, like, other people. Like, mod in, like, the Tupac hologram into the game.
Mm.
That sounds better to me than, like, Mads Mikkelsen.
Tell you what, mod the bike to hover, like the bike out of Rage 2, and you're only a winner. Because that would make life so much easier, just gliding on rocks.
You just bunny hop over everything. But yeah, I do like... I very much like the game. I just, yeah, I think it's... The game's about connecting people and connecting these different zones, and so I knew I was at, like, a point of no return for the story, and I couldn't not move on without connecting some of these side people, like the maps. There were some dead zones on my map, but that the game does this weird thing where you can go meet them and they just won't, like, interact with you, or they won't, like, join your net with the network that you're trying to create until you've made them happy. And you can make deliveries, and they're
sitting there dancing in front of them. Come on, be happy.
Basically, that's exactly what's happening. And, like, your likes go up with them, but then there's the star rating. We'll hit, like, a hard stop just before the one star, which is when they join the network. And you've got to, like, just kill time. Like, you've got to basically wait until they email you. You've got to just, like... And that's the part that I found really frustrating. So I was like, I found that... It wasn't very friendly to my time, because I had to constantly run around and try and make them happy.
Well, we said that about the game, wasn't it? It was a poor... It's Red Dead 2 again, isn't it? It's just a poor... time value. It's a cardinal sin, I think, in modern gaming, is a game that just doesn't value players' time and doesn't help with things like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
the weird thing is, part of the narrative is the exploration, so I kind of really like that it's there, part of it, but just...
You just like the smelly rope.
I do. I actually used it quite heavily yesterday. It was quite good.
Just standing outside sniffing outside a tent, sniffing it, looking at the guy going, all right.
but I think they could have, it could have been friendlier to the user by when you meet someone and you've brought a package to them, that is enough.
Do you think you'll do a director's cut for
trigger them
next gen?
All right, the director's cut will be worse. You will actually have to dance, and there'll be a dance simulator and a...
Because that's what I was thinking. Because there's no DLC. There's not even a snifter of DLC for it. You know what I mean? And I'm kind of like, well, I would have thought they maybe would have done something with it after building this world. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, even if it's like post-tense stuff or new areas or stuff, but it's like, he's all quiet now, so... I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't think its story's finished yet, but I think there'll be something for it, whether that be a director's cut or something of that ilk, you know.
But again, this is Kojima talking. His director's cut's going to be longer. not sure. And maybe more painful. But all in all, I do really like this game. Like, I think it's phenomenal what's been created, and the story that's being told is really good. I just think it could have been more of a editor's cut would be a better option. Like, a little bit more should have been on the cutting room floor and a little bit more streamlined.
Does Kojima even have an editor?
No.
That's who he's, the problem, right?
That's who he is. That's why Konami, he is who he is. Too soon. Too soon.
Yeah. And the other thing I've been playing with is the back button. The PlayStation back button. And it's really good.
Oh, okay. I spent all this time trying to figure out like what you're talking about, and now I know.
Is it what's called $20, $25?
But it's really good. I love it.
Are you ready for that to be standard on the PS5 controllers?
Yeah, I think it'd be good. I've said this to someone else, I don't know who, but I kind of like the idea of the pedals. But I also like the idea of having an extra couple of buttons that aren't used as replacement for other buttons that are there.
Own buttons.
Yeah, there's more options, because like the L3 and R3 were slowly introduced in, I think, the PS3 era.
PS1 and PS2 had the capacity to be used, but they weren't used as often.
So they had the clicky in back then?
Yeah. Maybe not PS1, but I know PS2 did.
Yeah, as I say, like, it kind of phased in. It took kind of a while, whereas now it's like standard. Almost every game has an L3, R3 option. And so it'd be nice to, because you still come across some games where you've got like a button that changes what other buttons that the face buttons do. Like, you've got, so it gives you 8 buttons using that one extra button. So it'd be nice to have just a few, so some games have more options rather than it just being a replacement for other buttons. But it's really easy to use, the back button. Like, it slits on, like, it's phenomenal how well it fits in with the controller. Like, once it's on, there's like, it's as it's meant to be there. It's real nice, nicely engineered. And it's really easy to customize. Like, you just tap, push the button at the back. Well, it's actually got 3 buttons, but the third button is just how to control it and program it. And there's 3 preset. Like, you can set 3 different modes on it. And it's really good. Like, I'm using it for Death Stranding, because you run around a lot holding the L2 and R2 to balance yourself, whereas now, instead of having to use my index fingers to hold down the triggers, or doing the double shoulder button grip, which is uncomfortable for long periods, I can just hold the controller with my fingers on the pedal buttons, and I've got myself gripped. And I actually found myself...
Fingers are you using for those? Are you using ring finger or pinky finger?
Middle finger.
Middle finger. Okay, interesting.
So I've got my index finger up for the shoulder buttons, so I still can use the scanner and stuff. And then I'm just naturally where it's gripping. Like, it sits right where the grip is.
Sure, yeah.
And so that ends up being my, middle finger. And I've actually found myself using, this is a case where it could have been, if the paddle was built into controller for Death Stranding, those could have been the grip, and then the L2 and R2 could have been for shooting as a separate button. But I'm actually finding the weird thing with Death Stranding is that you hold for grip, but if you've got a gun, if you push the L2 first, it will pull out the gun and you'll start shooting. So you've got to push them at exactly the right time if you have a gun equipped. And so I've actually found myself using the pedals to target and shoot as well, just instinctively, now that's there, like, really quickly. I'm not switching up to the L2 and R2, stupid L2s and R2s. And so it means I've still got my index finger ready to use for, like, the scanner and stuff to test for BTs. So, yeah, it's a really cool accessory, and I like it. It sits quite comfortably. Everyone should get one.
Unless
you want a scuff.
On an Astro. On a Frostmaster.
All about first party, man. All about first party.
On an Astro.
Third party rubbish.
Stuart, tell me about Sayonara Wild Hearts.
It's fun. No, it's actually on the Apple Arcade as well. There you go. See, nice to have a tangency. It's probably better suited for that, just because of the nature of it. Because the one criticism I have walking away from it is it's very short, like very short. But it's very. It's too expensive as well on consoles, but anyway. But yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. You are a character who basically fights tarot cards, which are symbolically visualized as biker gangs. It's basically a live action music video. Well, not live action, but it's a video game music video where. So oh, it's got nods to like Outrun, Panzer Dragon, and a few other kind of bits and bobs in the Infinite Running as well in a wee bit. It's basically, it says it's different tracks, but levels can last anything from 2 minutes to like a minute and a half. You know what I mean? There are some quite lengthy levels, 3 minutes maybe, but it tells a batshit crazy story from beginning to end. The whole thing's narrated as well by Queen Latifah, which is a bit random as well, I think. But yeah, it's visually stunning for the eye. It's all purples, pinks, magentas. That's the colour palette they've went for. And the soundtrack is brilliant, and I don't think if the soundtrack was quite as good, it would be quite as good. But yeah, it came out on the Switch as well, so I think the Switch and phones and Apple Arcade and stuff is a really good home for it. Xbox isn't really, because it just lacks real depth. I know you can go back and play like an infinite mode and stuff, but it just lacks. I burnt through it in what, about an hour and a half, maybe even less. And that was me mopping up, getting in and doing a few achievements and stuff, you know. Don't worry, achievements will keep me busy for a wee while on it. But it is what it is. You know what I mean? What it is it is. But I liked it for what it was. But then I'd been shadowing it forever on the Switch. So, you know. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a great game. The music is wonderful in that game.
Yeah. It's really base, but it's really base level gaming. It's like, there's not a lot of options in it. It's either QTEs or you're just moving from left to right. But it does some, like I say, it does some really interesting things by throwing in, like, you can see the cues, like I said, to like Outrun and stuff and that, where you'll do levels where you're in a car and you have to drift and stuff, and it's really nice. It's really nice.
Yeah.
So definitely one for a sale if you're on the consoles, unless you're on the Switch. And if you're on Apple Arcade, it's free to download, so what you doing listening to me, get it downloaded.
Yeah, get your Apple Arcade free trial or whatever. Play through Saturn Hour Wild Hearts. It's a great game.
And the reason I was putting it on the Xbox is it just came to Xbox last Tuesday.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So, but that's good enough.
I think it's also on PlayStation 4. I think. He says. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is. But I'm not positive. I know it's also on PC. It's on Steam.
Yeah. So, yeah, played that today. Finished it today. It was good. Also been playing the... It's a bit of weird, the bundle, but the 10th anniversary of Bayonetta and Vanquish, which technically is a strange one because Bayonetta was already kind of HD, kind of squinting through my eyes for the Switch about 2 years ago, but...
For the Wii U, you mean?
Well, no, Bayonetta's on the Switch.
Bayonetta came out on the Wii U, though.
Yeah, well, Bayonetta 2 came out in the Wii U.
Yeah, yeah. The Bayonetta 2 that I have came with Bayonetta 1 also.
Yeah, well, the Switch got Bayonetta 1 and 2 as a bundle as well, about two years ago. With a bit of thing. Well, it was mainly to say that this version of Bayonetta isn't a direct jump for 10 years
ago. Right.
There's probably a lineage in there of that version somewhere, I think. Bayonetta's Bayonetta.
Vanquish. What a great game.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Vanquish is the unsung hero. It's a case of it's often forgotten platinum title, and it's a great game. And is it really super shiny? It was never a slouch, you know. And it looks nice, plays well, controls are great. It's great. Yeah, it's a little bit on the short side again, but it's all about going and trying to get better ranks and stuff and that. And It's good. It tells a fun story. Any game where you can open your helmet up and smoke mid-missions, just a great thing.
I always like think about Vanquish in combination with the game Binary Domain. I don't know if you remember that game, but for some reason those two games like combine themselves in my head. And boy, do I need to replay both of them because it's been a while.
Yeah. Well, the other thing as well, I know we've left news in the past, but Platinum ran the Kickstarter
for the Beautiful,
which is a really interesting one because fundamentally the game's built, it's just for distributing needs. They need the money, but it's like totally smart. It's like raised mega money and stuff. And that was a game that I thought Nintendo would have honestly have put out themselves, because it's a game I've always wanted to play, but it was always curtailed behind the Wii U. And with Bayonetta and stuff coming to the Switch, it felt kind of natural to would see it. And yeah, we're going to see it, but technically it's not going to be through Nintendo, which also opens up the argument of why is the Platinum no doing it on the Xbox, because I think it's the Switch and the PlayStation they're doing. I think there's a PC version as well in the pipeline, if you raise enough money. So, yeah, that's a bit of an interesting one. Some of the tiers, unlocked tiers as well in that campaign are a bit strange, because you can pay to get blocked by the guy, because, you know what I mean, that's something people want. It's like,
I don't know why you would pay for that when all you have to do is just send him any tweet.
Yeah, I asked him about Scottish independence, and he blocked me, so I will interview him at one point in my life, I guarantee you. And when I sit down to interview him, I'll just stand up and leave, and I'll just say, oh, you blocked me on Twitter, so you obviously don't want to talk to me. And I'll just leave, and I swear, as this is a vocal record, that day will come, and I will do that, and I'll have a PR raging at me. But if I'm not good enough to follow you on social media and interact with when I ask a serious question, I'm afraid, my man, I don't give a fuck.
It seems weird that, I get that it's, like, the meme that LOL Kamiya blocks people on Twitter, but, like...
Well, no, tell. I'll ask him about
Why would I pay
Born.
Money for that when all I have to do is just get in his mentions and be like, hey, Kamiya, tell me something about a video game that you've said somewhere else in the past, like, 17 years ago, and you send a link to 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 a tweet? I don't know if you've seen how he does that, like where he'll like.
He blocked me like 3 years ago, so.
I used to follow him because I thought his Twitter was kind of funny, but then it was just like it was the same thing over and over again, so it just wore out its welcome a little bit.
Yeah, it was, well, like I say, I blocked, but I probably would in retrospect. The getting up and wee things were cool, but I'd love to get on about Scalebound and say to him like, where he's no fit enough to work with an American company and all that, and really, really rip into the guy. Just lay it bare, like, could you not handle an actual company with massive millions of dollars? It could be really nasty to the guy, which, I mean, you argue, oh, he's just playing the part, but fuck that, you know what I mean? You're measured by the stick you hit people with, and if you're hitting people with that stick, I've really underlying issues here with this guy, trust me.
Yeah. You do. Have you seen that they've announced they've got another game coming out? A pure Platinum game?
Project GG. Yeah, I saw that. I can't remember. It was a wee while ago.
I thought it was just this week.
Maybe not. Yeah, I thought it was under the shadow of Wonderful 101 because it done so well.
I don't know. Apparently it's one of their first games that's not published by a third party. So it looks like they'll be doing it themselves.
That'll end well.
Yeah, we'll see.
Project GG.
Yeah. It's got Godzilla in it from the looks of it.
Platinum's one of the companies that you always want to deal with because they make some truly phenomenal games, but it just never happens. They're the middle of the road kind of team. Like, everybody's like, oh, they're amazing games and that, but nobody ever buys them. Because, like, Near Autonoma is a brilliant game, but hardly anybody played it. Vanquish, again, totally overshadowed game. Anarchy Reigns, Mad World should be ported to the Switch. no questions asked. Do you know what I mean? Why is that? No, the Transformers Devastation, phenomenal game if you're a Transformers fan, but A, because it's the best G1 Transformers game in the world, and the fact was it was as tight as tight. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, no, as good, and that's me being nice, but still, it looked nice, and it kind of did the job, you know? It's just a really, they're a really strange studio, and a kind of, like Astral Chain's an amazing game as well, and it's like, hardly anybody get excited about Astral Chain. It got a bit of buzz for like 2 weeks and then it disappeared. And it's kind of like, why are they just not making the mark that they should be making, you know what I mean? And is it the whole, oh, they're just Japanese games and oh, they're just quirky wee things, or is it just a case of nobody really cares about these kind of things now because it ain't COD? Woo! it's always, they're very much the bridesmaid of games publishers, I feel. Quality content, just never getting the flaws, and maybe that's as well something to do with their attitude, with that whole thing, the attitude that they project. Do you know what I mean? That might be something as well, and subliminally with people, they're kind of like, oh, fuck
yeah,
us, I'm not doing that.
I don't know. I don't think that attitude necessarily comes
console.
From anyone, but coming in.
I think it's console right? choices is the issue as well. I think that's a big issue, is console choices, because the Wii U, like Bayonetta 2 would have sold millions, I think, if it was on anything other than the Wii U.
But that, I mean, that was Nintendo paid for that game, right? Like, it wasn't going to get made if Nintendo didn't pay for the development.
Well, they're making the third one, aren't they, as well, Nintendo, so...
Yeah. But the Switch is a much more successful console, so...
But is it going to sell units? That's the thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like, more eyes will be on the game just in and of itself because more people have a Switch, right? So, like, that's...
People weren't going to run out and buy a Wii U,
but like enough people already own a Switch that it will sell copies just for that, right?
And I guarantee the bundle with it, you'll be able to get the trilogy.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
That's a definite. It'll either be buy the game and get the first game free, or buy it and get the bundle free, or buy a bundle with all free. You know, that's a definite.
I would not be surprised at all to see like, oh, pre-order Bayonetta 3 and you can play Bayonetta 1 and 2 right now, right?
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good point. But for all the thingy, they make great games. Like, I'd love to see Astral Chain on an actual... I don't know, it's all right on the Switch, but it's the kind of game you want a solid... I know the Pro Controller, but... You know what I mean? You want an actual real controller that you can get right in the guts with and play with. Yeah. Because that's a really, I really liked Astral Chain.
You need your Switch scuff controller.
Well, that's the thing. It's really strange how there's nothing like that for the Switch at all. There's any like third party modded kind of. It's either Pro Controllers or Pro Controller clones. It's kind of like
It's kind of wild that like they haven't even like done like some cool mods for Joy-Cons, right?
Yeah. Plus the fact that if you look at it, but there's even going taken to the core, like headsets. I know, right? I know you can use any headset on it, right? But there's very few specific Switch headsets, like that are targeted just for the Switch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find that a really strange thing, given the size of the player base on the Switch. Because you look at like Astro and Turtle Beach and stuff, and they bring out the new Stealths or the A40s or whatever, and it's always Xbox, PlayStation, Xbox, PC, right? But they never shine it on the Switch, because I was like, I always thought that was a really strange, or even doing like a lightweight headset for the Switch. I don't know, it's weird. There must be some logic behind it. I think it's just because it's a jack, but I think that's the thing. It's like, maybe they looked at it and went, well, what is this, a 5.5mm jack in it? So what can we actually make special with this? It's like, oh, I don't know. But, no, it's a bit of an oddity there.
Is it because Nintendo try and control too much and they don't...
Oh, you're not getting a steering wheel for the
branding.
Switch either anytime soon.
But
that was a total tangency there about Wii and Switch peripherals.
So Mosaic, tell us about Mosaic.
Mosaic, the most depressing game in the world.
Great.
Just really depressing. Mosaic's got a really interesting backstory, how the developer basically had the worst burnout ever in his life, and he was fed up with life, and work and the 9-to-5 grind. So he just gave it all up and went and bought a boat and went sailing around fjords in Norway. He's a Norwegian himself. It's a really bleak game. It's a really bleak look at how life is for many people working the 9-to-5. And it's a really just... It's a strange one. It's... you play a character who basically wakes up, gets washed, goes to work, comes back, does the same thing every day. There are moments, but as with all things, there are moments of escape for that, where you'll see people playing saxophone or you'll see a butterfly and stuff, and that's when the actual game starts to unravel. But it's quite a surreal tale in what it tells, and it kind of gets... The message kind of starts out as something quite constrained and kind of to the point, and then it becomes just... and you're like, oh, talking goldfish. But the thing I really, when I told something, is at any point you can go to your phone and you can text people and stuff like that, but you also have an app called Blipbop, and Blipbop is basically a clicker. Press the button, get a point, that's it. Keep pressing the button, the more points you get, you can unlock upgrades and stuff and perks to get more points, blah blah blah. And I'll be honest, I found myself just sitting on my phone in the game just playing Blipbop for way too long. And then I was kind of like, well, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Because technically you play games in the real world to escape, at times, the shitty real world. And then I'm playing a game within a game to escape the shitty world of the game I'm in. It's like, yeah, that's just weird. That's like Inception in a kind of weird way. But yeah, it's a short-lived thing, but it's very visually striking. They went to Double Fine. They went to Double Fine to refine the art style, if you want to understand. They originally had an art style to start with that wasn't quite as nice as what it is now. And then with Double Fine's input, they come up with this kind of monochromatic, very blacks, greys, white, striking thing. It's a very dull world. Way accents are like maybe red and blue along the way, and then when you find the actual elements to escape, like the kind of the colour floods back into the world and gives you hope and stuff and that. And it's an interesting game that touches on obviously anxiety and depression and mental health and kind of well being, people's state of mind, you know. Yeah, it's an interesting one. It was it's probably worth a look, I'd say.
Yeah, this one's definitely going on my wish list on Steam. See what's going on here, because this looks really good.
Well, it's like the bit with the butterfly is really cool, because you're walking to work and then you look to the left and you see a butterfly across the street in a park, and the butterfly, you fall, you're still controlling your guy and you're walking along, then you see the butterfly flying, and it goes on for a wee bit, 5-10 minutes, and then the butterfly gets fed into a wood chipper, and I'm like, yeah, that kind of sets the tone for the game. Like, you can have a moment of pure clarity and joy, but then life comes back like a fucking hammer at the face and nukes it. And I was like, yeah, that's the perfect analogy for that game in a nutshell. Is you see something to escape, but the minute you see it, it's taken away, because this is life. Yay. So,
very somber game.
Yeah, maybe no one if you're in a down mood to play, but you know.
Yeah, it kind of seems like one of those games that, like, when I'm having a bad day, will be the kind of game that I want to play.
Also, you can get Blipbop on your phone if you're...
Oh, on your real phone?
Yeah. There's a free app, and you can blip your blobs. There we go. At the moment, I've Prestige 2, and I'm level 39. As I'm blopping and blopping, yeah, that's depressing. The last thing I'm probably just gonna grace on is played a couple of betas. Or kind of big titles. Bleeding Edge I played last weekend. It's not very good. Build is an Overwatch challenger. For Ninja Fury, you play as teams made up of wacky characters. And you have to capture points and transport nodes and blah blah blah, you know, that kind of thing. Nice production value, nice art style. Falls apart on the gameplay. Time to Kill is horrible. It's horrible in it.
Like way too high or way too low?
Way too high. We found that singularly you don't stand a chance, but if you run about with your mate, you'll do a whack of damage, but then they'll need to do a whack of damage to bring down a character. So and I know it's a beta, and this will no doubt be tweaked, but it was just too rigid for its own good, you know. The variety in characters and the kind of different visual styles and stuff and that. It's interesting. You've got a guy who can go stealth, who wears a gas mask and has got a big katana. There's a kind of guy in a floating chair that's a medic. And there's a woman who's got a big massive tire attached to her as well. There's no kind of rhyme or reason to the art styles.
So it kind of sounds like they're like maybe aping Overwatch a little bit too much.
It's more like a punk version of Overwatch, like a kind of anarchic, good word. If I can say it, vision. Yeah, but yeah, the thing that really got me as well was the camera sits back a fair bit for you. It's not that kind of. It's not your kind of third person kind of normal camera. It feels like it's been drawn back a little bit. I think it's just so you can take in all the action. Nice touches, like getting to, and when you spawn, you have a hoverboard to get you into the action and stuff, and you can jump on your hoverboard at any time. You kind of potter about the arena and stuff and that. I've played maybe 5 or 6 matches yet. It was okay, but it didn't hook. It wasn't like I was like, oh, I need to keep playing. I was kind of, yeah, I've kind of played with the roster of characters I want to play with. Healers, tanks, you know, the kind of stuff. You can see a lot of, there's a few in there that are really interesting. Like there's a voodoo man who's got a big snake for an arm, and there's like a kind of a robot android rocker guy and stuff. But then there's like somebody like basically who looks a lot like the demo man for, no, she's a woman, but she's basically the demo man for Team Fortress 2. She's got a grenade launcher and stuff and that, and you kind of start seeing the kind of, you start drawing the kind of lines between them and stuff. Interesting thing is it's more melee focused combat than it is ranged combat, which I thought was kind of different, considering like obviously Overwatch is a lot of range other than like Kenji. Thinking it's been ages since I played Overwatch. So most people have swords and hammers and stuff in that. Watch this space. For what I see as well for the world, the world's not been set on fire by this one, so it's a bit kind of like, yeah, nice try, kids.
I thought this game would have been out, to be honest. Like, it's nothing. It seems like it's taken a long time to be released.
Well, I think, well, it's out this month. I think it's out in the the end of the month, because I know Ori and the Will of the Wisps is out first. And then, like, a week after that, Bleeding Edge comes out. So, but it'll be interesting to see the uptake, because obviously Bleeding Edge is going straight to Games Pass, which means there should be, in theory, a massive player base from the get-go. So it'll be interesting, like, maybe 2-3 months down the line, if I'm playing it, well, you know what I mean, if I'm still playing it with my mates and that on the Xbox, I'll be able to talk about if it's evolved and if they've refined issues with it and stuff, you know. It's mainly just notable because it's Ninja Fury doing a multiplayer game. And Ninja Fury are best known for very narrative-focused-driven titles, aren't they? So, well, DMC wasn't quite that, but you get the idea, don't you? So, the only other beta I gave a go was Disintegration, which is a really interesting game because it's the new game for one of the founders who made Halo, and it's a little bit of Column A, it's a little bit of Column B. It really doesn't know what it wants to be. You are a robot guy who flies a speeder bike, but at the same time you control 3 units in the battlefield. So it's like a MOBA in a way, but at any given time you can intervene, you can get involved as well in the action, and it throws a lot of ideas at you, and it's just all a bit kind of confusion right off the bat, because it's like, it's one thing in a multiplayer game to cover your own ass, it's another thing to have to control three other units, and then when you come up against other teams, the other, so like, there's like a, it was like a capture and hold match was one I played quite a bit. So you tell the AI guys to go and get the point to capture the core or whatever it was, but there you're then left to kind of protect them who are then under assault for the other robot drones for the other guy's team, as well as him on his air bike. And it just throws a lot. So you can heal them as well. So you can shoot healing grenades into the field. And it was just weird. No, and it's defense. There's going to be a full blown campaign, which I think will teach you the more than just the core bones of this game. And I think that's needed, because it's just totally different from anything I've ever kind of played. Kind of focused in kind of combat ways and stuff in that. But it was okay. It was pretty enough, and it kind of felt good at times when you were playing and stuff. But it was just so many mechanics and so many new ideas for that kind of game thrown at you at one time. You're kind of like, oh, I can't handle it. You know?
Yeah, you haven't heard of this one. Well, it looks interesting. Looks pretty.
Yeah, I think the Destiny crowd would be all up in this one, because it's kind of like half Halo, half Destiny, half something else. You know.
Yeah, I remember like when it got announced, or like when the stuff was, when it was being talked about, like that was kind of the thing, is that everyone was like, oh, like, is this like a Destiny like? And I don't know, it doesn't. From everything.
For what I played, it's mere. Great. It for what I played, like I say, it's mere. It's thrown a lot of ideas into one. It's not a pure blood FPS. It's not a MOBA. It's not a strategy. It's a bit of everything. And it could end up being a jack of all trades, master of none. And plus, it's the studio's first title as well. So it's kind of like the Halo brand that the guy built his legacy on will get him so far, but he'll soon get found out if this doesn't deliver. I think so. We'll see. Something to look forward to in a couple of months' time as well. I don't know. I think that's the end of summer. That's shaping up to release, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Like, if it's good, I'm sure I'll check it out.
Mm. Definitely feels like it could be an eSport game.
Sure.
Feels that kind of... Because it's like the teams you play are like samurai teams and punks and clowns. Odd one off. Clown robots is weird. And it just feels like there's a whole kind of... They're building it towards that kind of sub-genre. And it's interesting enough, so... Hey-ho, we shall see. And yep. That rounds up what I've played.
All right, I guess it's on to me then. First things first, still playing a lot of Destiny. New season starts in a week. Next Tuesday. And they're bringing back Trials of Osiris, which is like the high-level PvP, like... super competitive mode, which I'm pretty excited about. But other than that, just kind of, you know, still doing the thing, still shooting some aliens. Been playing a lot of PvP lately to kind of get my shot set for Trials. So looking forward to that. Destiny is a video game. Look forward to hearing about it for the next 4 years. that Stuart just sighs in the background.
Yeah, I'm just that.
But the two things that I've been playing that aren't Destiny. First, Shovel Knight King of Cards. So this is the King Knight campaign that came out in December, I believe. And it is still basic Shovel Knight style gameplay, still platforming, still you know, all that kind of stuff. But King Knight has an air dash, which is nice. Makes for some interesting challenges. But the other new thing that they've added for this one is that there's a card game that you can play. It's called Joustus, and this is, like, the whole thing, is that, like, King Knight wants to become, like, the king of the land by winning at Joustus. And this card game is really cool, so have either of you seen anything about it?
No.
Nope.
Okay. So it is a, it basically, like, you lay the cards out on a 3x3 grid, and the gameplay is... the cards can have an arrow on each side of them, on any number of those sides. As far as I've seen, I've only seen cards with arrows on up to three sides. And I'm assuming that would be the way it would work, because the way it works is there will be gems on random spots on the board. So the goal of the game is to collect the majority of the gems. But you can't just place your cards on the gems. The arrows will push cards in the direction of the arrow. So if you put a card in the same slot as another card, it will push it in the direction that you put it in. So, like, if you have say I have a card below a slot with a gem, and then I have a card that has an arrow that pushes up. If I put my card in that same slot, it will push the first card up and claim that gem for me. So the goal of the game is that you are basically jousting, pushing these cards back and forth, like pushing your opponent's cards, pushing your own cards, to try to jockey for position and into the game. The game ends when every slot on the board is filled with cards. And it is super, super fun and way, way more in-depth than I thought it was going to be. I've spent, like, I'm enjoying the platforming because I think that game just plays really well, but I've spent a lot of time just playing Joustus, like, with random people in the world. It's got big triple triad from Final Fantasy VIII energy.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's that same kind of, but that's numbers, isn't it? Like power.
Yeah, yeah, triple triad is numbers, and like you flip the cards rather than move them around the board. But is very clearly like influenced by triple triad. I can kind of see, you can see the influences.
Yep, for sure.
But that's more or less it for Shovel Knight. I will have more to say about that in the future. I've probably played, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours of it so far, and most of that has just been playing Joustus. but the other game that I started playing yesterday, actually, after having listened to some Bonfireside chats about it recently, is Blasphemous, which is a 2D action Dark Souls-like in this weird, like, Catholic religion-inspired world, and it is super good. The game plays really well. Like, again, like you know me and my obsession with how games control and how they move.
It is important.
It plays really nice. I think it's the nicest playing of these side-scrolling Souls-like games that I've played since Momodora 4, which I think is still the best of them. Really cool. Like, the art in this game is fucking beautiful. Like, it is like this. It's like 16-bit, but like HD sprite art, and it is incredible looking. I don't know if either of you have seen any of this game, but
yeah,
I would highly recommend checking it out if you haven't.
It's a bit messed up, as an understatement.
Yeah, it's definitely like it's very like brutalist, like. Just like really like intense, like one of the first cutscenes that you see is like after you kill like the tutorial boss,
stick a helmet in him, didn't you?
Yep,
son?
Fill the helmet up with the boss's blood and then put your head in it. Pretty messed up. But very much enjoying this game so far. The one complaint that I have with it that I don't understand is that there's not like movement upgrades. So like the base movement feels fine. But, like, you don't get, like, a double jump or an air dash or any of that stuff, which I guess, you know, like, maybe that's just not what they were going for. But I would have, you know, that's just me wanting to be able to move around the world a little more quickly and efficiently.
I've got it, but I've not started it. I've kind of hummed and hawed. I've looked at it a few times, and I'm just like, I don't really want to go down that hole just now.
It's quite fun.
Some of the bosses I've seen are a bit out there as well. It's like babies chained to babies, chained to babies. It's like,
yeah.
I saw a baby rip the main character in half. Like, I'm watching a trailer now.
Is there no the end as well? Oh, is there no something? There's a bit where you're climbing a mountain I've seen made of bodies, and it's I can't remember what it is, but apparently it's like unless you've done something prior. There's something to do with the true ending, but you need to do it in the hardest difficulty or something, and I've killed something, blah blah blah, and it's like, you'll see when you, I've not played it, but like I say, I've only heard of this, and it seems a bit kind of like, woohoo, It's like, yeah. Looks great. It looks beautiful, but I really big up. It's a Team 17 production. Is that, no, sorry. It's not Team 17 production. It's a Team 17 they published title.
Yeah. It's some developers from Spain, I guess, or the... I think it's just like a duo or something.
That makes guys sense.
Like big Catholic energy, right? But yeah, it's quite good. Like, I couldn't tell you anything about the story. It seems all very, like, steeped in the Catholic, like, mythology, and in a way that I'm not very steeped in that. And I imagine if you are someone who is very religious or was brought up very religious, probably makes a lot more sense.
Nah, if you know about that kind of stuff, odds are yours is going to piss you off.
I mean, you know, it could be someone who was brought up with it but no longer follows it, right?
Which... I do like how we started this cast saying the Pope's got corona and we're ending it on... we just kill a big Catholic thing and
One of the sickest things about this game is that the sword that you use throughout the game is called the Mea Culpa. And it is it has a thorn in the handle that, like, grows into your hand as you use it. Because it's supposed to be, like, painful for you to use the sword. You're like, everyone calls you the penitent one. You're basically, like paying the... You're like, almost like a Christ analog, right? Not quite, but, like, you are paying for the sins of others. And also your own, I guess. But it is very cool.
I mean, I'll need to get a go. I'll need to give it a go at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
In between playing Mosaic and feeling depressed about the world. Definitely.
Just play some metal ass Blasphemous. Like I said, like I think it's the best controlling one of these games other than Momodora 4. But Momodora 4 is like an outstanding game, so it's hard to beat that.
So did you say that you don't get like the movement upgrades? A lot of these side-scrolling games have the, you know, Metroidvania, so that you unlock areas by movement and getting things like Hollow Knight. You get double dash. You can get to areas you couldn't jump to before. Is there no kind of progression that way, like exploration, or is it just level based?
So it is like a Metroidvania, like open world style thing. But as far as I could tell, like it was just, there are three main paths when you first start the game, and all three of those paths are just open to you. So it's kind of just go in whichever direction. Like there is like, it does kind of read like there is like a critical path, like of those three that you should go in a certain direction, but like you can go wherever you want. I have heard that there is some stuff that maybe not like, I guess there is some movement stuff, but there isn't like a double jump as far as I can tell, or I guess like there isn't a double jump that you can activate whenever you want. But I'm very much interested in seeing what it does do. I'm still in like to put this in like a Dark Souls analog, I'm still like ringing the Two Bells of Awakening area of the game.
Yep. So there could be stuff
there are three of those
about
areas, but. Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, seems really good so far. I've checked in with a couple people that I know that have played the whole game, to make sure that it doesn't just get like bullshit difficult, and they've kind of all said that like there is some bullshit deaths, but it's not too bad. So we'll see. I'm gonna keep playing it. I'm probably gonna play it as soon as we're done recording this podcast. Actually.
Oh yeah, nice.
So which on that note, I am done talking about video games, if y'all are.
What item does Mad-Eye Moody have in his office to help him keep track of his enemies?
What is that thing called? A foe tracker or something like that? What's the mirror called? Foe glass. Foe glass?
That's it. Good job.
Nice. Nailed it.
You got there.
have a quiz that's a bit more fun for the rest of the class. Yeah.
Sorry, Stuart.
I just kind of took over on that one.
Did you also know that? Bring up more quizzes.
That means the next host needs to come up with a quiz, didn't he?
Yeah, I guess so.
I never signed up for this, goddammit!
Charles, you've kind of been in charge of this behind the scenes. Do we have socials yet?
Maybe.
There will be.
Okay, there will be socials. We'll append socials to the description of the podcast.
We have an email address, but I think I've forgotten the password.
So if you've listened to this episode, you win a prize, right? That's the if you've made it this far, you've won a prize. We don't know what that prize is, and depending on how many people turn up, you'll never know what it was.
Exactly. There will be so many people that we can never confirm who won the prize.
Yes.
Stuart, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me 100% at my Twitter account, which is FuryAce, which is FuryAce in the number 3. I think that's probably the best at the moment, as we're still in the juvenile stage. Just if you have any questions, anything about it, contact the 3 years individually.
Like I said, if we get the we'll get the social figured out.
There'll be an account before this goes live.
Before this
I'm
goes
sure.
up, and it'll
I'm
be sure. in the description of the podcast. Charles, yeah. Where can people find you on the internet?
At VaderVanOden.com.
Yes, and you can find me at Wade Brian R. And that's I think going to do it for this episode. So there's just one final thing to say. Don't forget your gamepad.